Now we are joined in the studio by Jane, who is come all the way up from Windsor this morning. What a drive. And we're going to be talking about a special act of remembrance taking place next weekend in Kolín in the Czech Republic. People from different countries and different faiths will be going swimming in the local river, just as many used to do in the past. Kolín had a significant Jewish population and many enjoyed swimming with their non-Jewish neighbours. But this all ended with the Nazi invasion, when many Jews were deported to concentration camps. One of the organisers of the inaugural Hannah Greenfield Memorial Swim is Jane Drapkin from the Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue, joining me now. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. Can you tell us how Northwood and Pinner Synagogue is linked to Kolín?
Yes. So Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue has a tourist scroll that came from the town of Kolín. So during the Holocaust, the tourist scrolls from all the communities in Czechoslovakia were taken to Prague. They were bought in the 1960s, early 1970s, and brought over to London, mm-hmm. and then distributed to Jewish communities that needed them.
Around the world?
Around the world, mm-hmm. yes. Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue took one scroll that came from Kolín. We have a number of scrolls that came from Czechoslovakia, and one came from Kolín. And in 1978, on Yom Kippur morning, the rabbi at the time, Rabbi Andrew Goldstein, read from the scroll from Kolín and then gave a sermon about the scroll and mm-hmm. the little that we knew about the community there. And as an afterthought, he said, does anybody ever go to Czechoslovakia? It would be great to know more about the town of Kolín. And this was, of course, during communist times. Mm. And in fact, there was somebody from the community, Michael Heppner, who did business in Czechoslovakia. So he started visiting Kolín.
Wow.
And gradually he met one of the few survivors that was actually living there. And over the course of the last 40 years, our synagogue has developed very, very close links with the town of Kolín. The town have been very involved in remembering the Jewish heritage. The current mayor is very supportive. The local schools get involved. There's been a lot of work done on the synagogue that's there and the cemeteries. Mm. And our synagogue has done a number of trips over the years to commemorate certain events in the Jewish history and in remembering the Jews from that town.
And the synagogue's done a huge amount in telling Kolín's story. I remember it must have been in the 90s or the 2000s seeing a musical or a
yes.
play, Stones of Kolín, which
Kolín.
Came out from the synagogue.
Yes.
So there's a very special relationship there,
there's
isn't there?
Very special relationship. And Rabbi Andrew Goldstein and Rabbi Aaron Goldstein have taken over young people there every year. As I say, we've done a number of trips and in fact been involved in some publications. So there was a book written by the rabbi from Kolín, Rabbi Dr. Richard Fader. It was called The Jewish Tragedy, and it was written in Czech, published in 1947. But in fact, we supported an English translation of that. My father did the editing for it. And that was published in 2015. Mm-hmm. And I was on a trip in 2015, which was partly to launch the English translation of that book.
So why did you want to get involved with remembering Kolín? Was it a quest to discover more about Jewish life there? Did you have personal connections?
My family had been a few times. And unlike most sort of younger sisters in a family, I don't want to miss out. So I thought, well, I need to go. And everybody that had been on these trips just talked about how wonderful and moving they were. So I went on my first trip in 2009, and it was a very, very, very special few days. And the 2015 trip was significant, partly because it was the launch of this English translation that my father had been involved with, partly because it was the 70th anniversary of the return of the very few survivors that came back to the town of Kolín. And also it was to launch the Stolpersteine Trail, which is Stolpersteine are small brass plaques laid into the ground to remember the victims of the Holocaust. And they're placed outside the
house. You literally stumble over them.
You stumble over them, and they have the names of the residents engraved in them. And our synagogue have been very involved in setting that up. And we've each sort of sponsored a Stolpersteine. So there are a number of reasons why I just wanted to be part of that trip.
Mm-hmm. And is there evidence that before the war, people of different backgrounds mixed freely? There was integration. Was there racism in the town?
As far as we know, people mixed extremely well. One of the things that has come out is just how integrated the Jewish community were. And Rabbi Feder writes about this in his book, as do a number of other people. And in fact, Rabbi Andrew Goldstein and myself heard part of the video testimonial from another survivor, Erna Meissner, and she talked about how integrated they were and how supportive the non-Jewish community were towards the Jewish community, even as the persecution started. So mm-hmm. we believe it was a very, very integrated, very, very supportive town.
So this is Three Counties Radio. We're here with Jane Drapkin from Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue talking about the town of Kolin, which they have a long connection with, and a wild swim that she's been organising. But before we come back to that, we've had a text from AJ asking about the origin of the scrolls that we've been talking about. So Northwood and Pinner have a connection to Kolin through a Czech scroll that they received from a charity that distributes scrolls around the world. Jane and I were just discussing this. It's a strange phenomenon that happened during the war, and we don't quite know why they chose the Czech Republic rather than anywhere else. But what the Nazis did was to collect Jewish items from around the communities that they were liquidating and destroying and bring them all to Prague, where they were intended to create a museum to learn about the missing people, people that they had destroyed. Essentially, it was going to be a historical museum of Judaism that no longer was around. So all of these scrolls were gathered in Prague, and I think you said it was in the 60s or 70s that they
early
were
70s,
brought
yes.
to the UK. They're now stored actually at Westminster Synagogue, where you can go and have a tour of the museum there and see what scrolls are still there and haven't been distributed. But a lot of them have been shared out around different communities. Some of them needed repairing and have been restored. And it's, you know, in my experience of using one, it's a wonderful thing to make them holy again and to bring them back into use. So that aside, thank you for your question, AJ. Tell us a little bit more about this swim you're organising. Where does it start? What's the background?
So the background is during the trip in 2015, as well as people from our synagogue, there were descendants of one of the survivors from Kolin, a lady called Hannah Greenfield. She died in 2014, having in her 80s. But her widower and grown-up children and grandchildren were also on the trip. And it turned out that her daughter, Maira, is also an outdoor swimmer, as I am. During the trip, we were having a reception laid on by the mayor, and I just asked the mayor, it was a beautiful sunny day, there's a lovely river running through the town, and being a swimmer, I just happened to ask the mayor, does anybody swim in the river? And he said, no, nobody swims in the river. Why would anybody swim in the river? We have a perfectly good swimming pool, which they do. They have a lovely
good
swimming
response.
Pool. Yeah. At which point my ear was heard the conversation, and she said, of course people swim in the river. My mother used to swim in the river. Her father used to throw her in. That's how she learned to swim.
Oh, terrible.
So we looked at each other and said, well, we have to organise a swim in her memory, the Hannah Greenfield Memorial Swim. Mm. So that's where the idea came from. And then at the end of that trip, I had a bit of time on my own. I'd gone out to Prague and done a bit of sightseeing. I was just sitting by the river and started reading the English translation of the book that Rabbi Feder had written, the Rabbi of Kolin. And on the very first page, he talks about how they were, he says, we were fully fledged citizens. Our youngsters played football and tennis, toned up their muscles with other athletes, swam with swimmers. And I thought, okay, this is real now. This is something that really has to happen.
And it looks like you've got a photo there, a sepia photo of people swimming. When's
yes.
that from?
So there are some photos dated between 1920s and 1930s. And I came across these when I went back to Kolin in August last year, 2017, to do a recce. And I went with some swimming friends of mine, not non-Jewish swimming friends, just that they were up for coming and doing some swimming. And I walked past the library in the town of Kolin, and in the window they happened to have a display of old photos of people swimming in the river.
Amazing.
It was incredible. So we somebody helped to do some research, and we found out that the people of Kolin used to swim regularly in the river, as Maria had said her mother used to do, up until the mid-1930s. But we think in about 1933... there was a change in legislation, and there was a massive increase in industrialisation in the river. Mm-hmm. So there a lot of shipping, pollution increased, the beaches that they used to swim off were destroyed. And that was the end of swimming in Kolin.
And the need for the swimming pool emerged.
And the need for the swimming pool emerged, yes.
So what can you tell us about Hannah Greenfield and who she was?
So I unfortunately never met Hannah, but she sounds like she was a remarkable woman. Mm-hmm. And she was very involved. She survived the Holocaust. She'd been in Theresienstadt and also in Auschwitz and in Bergen-Belsen. After the war, she returned to Kolin, but then moved to Israel, where she got married and had her family. She was very involved throughout her life in working on Holocaust education and working with the Czech community in educating the young people there about what had happened and about promoting tolerance and tackling prejudice. So I think she, from what I know of her, I think this swim would very much fit within sort of her legacy to the town, and several of her family members are coming to the swim.
That must be so special, so special. Now, swimming in the River Elbe sounds special and fun. Will it be very cold? What are you expecting? What are going to be the challenges?
So it won't be cold.
It'll be dangerous?
No, it won't be dangerous. It will be lovely. So the water will be, we think, about 23 degrees.
The pollution's now gone, presumably.
Pollution is gone. So fishermen have fish in there. Oh, there's wow. lots of wildlife on the river. The flow is very small there. It's a very, you know, enough flow to keep it clean, but not fast flowing. There's a very safe entry and exit point, and the swimming club in Kolin have been amazing in organising all of the safety arrangements for it.
And is it just the Jewish community taking part?
No. So this is where it gets really special. So we have people from the town, and we're hoping the mayor will swim. Certainly people from the swimming club. And then we have, of the overseas visitors, we have some people from our Jewish community, people from other Jewish communities across Europe and also from the Prague Jewish community, and some non-Jewish swimmers who are just interested in coming and swimming and learning about the history.
So it'll be a wonderful bringing together of people. That sounds amazing. Now, Jane's worked all over Africa and Afghanistan on aid projects, including working for Christian Aid in difficult, dangerous circumstances, including in the aftermath of an earthquake. Why did you get attracted to that kind of work, and how does it fit in with your enthusiasm for preserving the memory of Kolin's Jews?
I don't know why I do these things. I mean, because I want to, because it's always felt like that I'm making a difference.
Great.
And it's interesting and exciting, and it's wonderful to meet people from different places and feel like you're, yes, just part of the world, really, and part of that, supporting people and feeling like you've made a bit of a difference. How that linked to this swim in Kolin, I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Do you feel like the Kolin swim keeps their story alive and might change people's perception of, you know, we're seeing more and more Holocaust denial, anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
Do you hope to change the narrative, or is it really just about creating a wonderful event?
I think it's a few things. I think part of it is about creating new memories. So certainly when we go to Kolin, we celebrate the history of the Jewish community, but also we remember the sort of dark past. But this is about creating a new memory. So part of this is about, there are photos in the library in 1923, 1933. There can be a photo this year of 2018 of Jewish and non-Jewish people swimming in the river together. So part of it is about creating new memories and going forward. But part of it as well is, I think, that just that remembrance that actually we're incredibly lucky to be able to do this, that we can just turn up and do it because the river is clean and we're free to do it. And I swim in the river in Windsor, and I'm free to do it. I imagine the people in Kolin in 1933 thought it would go on forever. Mm. The thought that I might not be able to swim in the river in Windsor because of my Jewish identity, or somebody else that I know might not be able to swim because of some aspect of their identity, is horrifying.
Yeah.
So I think it's part of that. We do it because we can, but also just remembering that actually we're very lucky to be able to do it, and we shouldn't take that for granted.
Jane Drevkin, it's been so wonderful having you with us. I wish you so much strength and joy in this new celebration and creation of memories, that it should be a wonderful event for you and all of Kolin and Northwood and Pinner Liberal Synagogue.
Thank you.
Best of luck.
Thank you very much.